It's really great to be with you today. I travel a lot in the work that I do. I'm the director of New Ministries, which means I work with churches that want to become more vital. And I also work with the bishop and the cabinet in starting new churches. We will actually be starting about 60 new churches over the next 15 years. So a lot of what I do is I visit different churches, and you are my sixth week of preaching in a row. And boy, this is hard work. So it is good to be with you, and it is good to be with you, especially this week. Okay. Especially good to be with you this week as we turn to Lent and we come into a very important season in our church. Lent is a season of silence. It's a season of solemn fasting. It is a journey with Jesus to the cross and then ultimately to the great day of Easter and resurrection. Sometimes we want to jump right there and not do all this Lent stuff, but we're going to do the Lent stuff, and we're going to hear what God might have to say to us in the midst of this season and in this time. Lent is a time for many things. I think Lent is one of those seasons where we calm down and quiet ourselves enough to ask those questions that are deep in our hearts, like, is death really all that there is? Does my suffering have any meaning? What is my life about? In my life, I have found that Lent is a season where God breaks us and then God recreates us anew. And that's what we hear in our text this morning. Our text this morning is Mark 1, 9 through 15. It shares with us about the start of Jesus' ministry. And here's what it says. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Notice, Jesus' ministry begins with his withdrawing. He leaves and goes out into the desert to surrender his life to God, to give his complete self to what God would want to do in him. This is the model of the season of Lent, this time of surrendering and giving ourselves to God to see what God would do with us. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. I want to talk about this journey in the wilderness, this journey to surrender ourselves and our lives to God. And so I want to start with a little quiz to see how we're doing in living a life where we let go and let God, a life where we surrender. So why don't you give me that slide? Okay, so here's three questions. I want you to give yourself a score, 1 to 5, 5 being always, 1 being never, and stay away from the 3. Everyone likes to give themselves a 3. Okay, so do you pray before making decisions? Give yourself between a 1 and a 5. 1 never, 5 always. Number 2, do you trust in God in all of life's circumstances? And number three, do you look to resolve things yourself, or do you go to God first? Now, I don't know about your score, but I know my score is not 15. And I imagine most of us were not able to say we always do these things. So I want to talk about some of the things that hold us back from really trusting and living into surrendering our life to God. The first thing is a problem. It's our problem, and it's that we are pretty awesome. Doesn't sound like a problem, does it? That's right. It doesn't sound like a problem, but it is a problem. You are an awesome group of people. I know this from Pastor Bob. I also am awesome. You don't know me yet, but let me just tell you, I am pretty awesome myself. Now, what I mean by that is I'm competent. I'm able to make things happen in my own life. I'm able to do things both professionally and personally by my own abilities. And that is the problem, because we are so awesome and we can do most things for ourselves, we don't always turn to God because we think, why bother God? Why bother God with these things? I'm pretty awesome. I can just take care of it myself. We give lip service as Christians to let go and let God, to trust in God in the wilderness in our lives. But oftentimes, really, we don't run anything by God at all because we've got it covered. Our second problem, we don't like to give up. When people talk about letting go and surrendering our life to God, it can sound like what we're saying is, I give up. I don't like to give up. I will throw more energy, more time, more resources, more money, whatever it takes so that I don't have to give up. You may be like that too. And when you hear talk about surrendering and turning things over to God, what it sounds like you're saying is, I got beat. I lost. And we don't like to lose. So we resist just letting go. Our third problem is, we don't see the point of letting go. It's kind of a difficult sell, letting go and letting God. It's a difficult sell because on one hand, the idea sounds really confusing. Like, what does that even mean? To let go, to trust God, to enter the wilderness and surrender our life. What does that mean? So for some of us, that's where we sit. But then others of us, we've just decided it's a very bad idea. It's beyond our comfort level to just let go and trust God. I mean, why would we? What would be the point of it? So, here's the thing. Even though we are awesome, even though we don't like to give up, and even though we don't see the point of it, the truth is that at a certain point in all of our spiritual development, for us to be mature spiritually, we must embrace the truth and the practice of letting go. Letting go is what takes the training wheels off of our faith. So if you're feeling stuck with your faith, if you feel like you haven't pushed forward and grown much lately, the word you may need to hear today is this word. That what God is calling you to next is the next level of spiritual growth, taking those training wheels off of your faith and letting go and trusting God. Letting go is an essential part of what it means to follow God. Going into that wilderness and surrendering our life is essential for the journey. And let me share with you what I've learned about what it means to let go. I will say I didn't learn this from some great theological textbook. I learned it from a friend of mine who read the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he started following a 12-step program. Not because he's in recovery, but because the spirituality made so much sense to him, as it has for millions and millions of people. First thing he shared with me about his own journey of letting go was he shared the first three steps, which can be summarized like this: I can't, God can, I'll let God. Now, I had already heard them. Of course, I heard them in the longer version. But these, he said, are the kind of the foundation for learning to let go, learning to surrender to God. And I asked him, what exactly does that mean? And he said, it's like this. When you let go in your life, you are giving your life over to God so that something bigger might be born within you. He said, when you surrender, when you let go and let God, when you lay down your life to God in the wilderness, what that is about is saying yes to that deepest thing within you that wants to grow you from the small person you are today to who it is you could be. I was thinking about that, and a couple weeks ago I heard a podcast that helped me think about it a little more. Person in the podcast was talking about their own spiritual life, and they shared how when they felt God was growing them to that next level of their faith, first they found themselves pretty miserable. That happens a lot. When God's trying to grow us, first we find ourselves in the midst of that growth pretty miserable. God's pushing us to be a new person, to live in a new way. And we want to take back control. The journey to letting go and letting God is often a journey that is difficult. It is messy and painful work to go to the wilderness. It is messy and painful work to die to who we were in our faith at the beginning to who we are now, changing from one into another. How can we trust that in the midst of it, we shouldn't just take back all the control? I think one thing to remember is that our God is the God who births this new life in us. That helps us trust and slow down and wait on God. Of all the things my friend said, though, there was one thing that helped me the most. And it was an image. He said, letting go is activating the oak within the acorn. Or, if you rather, the butterfly within the caterpillar. It is what Jesus spoke of when he said, unless a seed dies. Letting go of control, turning our lives over to God, is about activating this deeper thing, this oak within the acorn, the butterfly within the caterpillar. It is about surrendering who we are to the highest potential of who we could be through God's touch in our lives. The scripture puts it this way about this new person God wants to birth in us, the Christ within us that lives through us. In Colossians 1, it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is what's seeking to be born within you. So the first thing I learned from my friend is about this oak within the acorn, this dying to what was in order that God might birth what could be. And then the second thing he said to me that has a lot to do with the first thing was that you have to embrace the idea in your spiritual life that letting go is understanding that loss is often gain. Loss is often gain. Now, if you are over 40 years old, you probably totally understand what that means. That there have been in your life seasons where one door closed and another door opened, where one season ended and another opportunity happened. This is an important piece of the spiritual life, to embrace that many times in the midst of loss, as terrible as loss is, and as much grief as we have, in the midst of it, God is seeking to birth something new. This kind of loss is both taking away, but it's also about paring down to the essentials. There are many stories that we hear about loss becoming gain. Certainly the one that we journey with during the season of Lent is the story of Jesus and how he comes among us to teach and to heal, to bring us a new way of living, which ends in his crucifixion, the loss, which becomes the gain of the resurrection. I also think of early Christians who knew this idea, that the desert fathers and mothers, these were folks who left their cities and moved into the desert, and they gave up all that they had in order to find the way of Jesus. They believed the way of Jesus was about removing things from your life, not adding things to your life. And anything that diverted their attention from finding and knowing God, they plucked out. Or Thomas A. Kempis, who wrote this great book called The Imitation of Christ, he advocated that Christians make a spiritual practice of letting go. And he talked about it this way. He said, to sum up, dear friends of mine, unclench your fists and let everything fly out of your hands. Letting go, then, is one of the ways that loss becomes gain. So my friend shared with me, letting go activates the oak within the acorn. Letting go is understanding how often loss is gain. How do we take those ideas and live into those during this season of Lent? Well, I want to invite you to try two things. The first is something I want you to embrace, and the second is something I want you to practice. So I want you to embrace the idea that weak is the new strong. This is a great phrase that comes from Pastor Rob Bell. I don't remember what he said about it, but I just loved that phrase. And I think it's actually pretty easy to get a grip on it. What it means is that when we talk about strength in the world, we're talking about power that comes from the sword or money or fame or our position. But in the spiritual life, what the world perceives as weakness is often strength. It is spiritual strength to let go and to let God. It is spiritual strength to embrace that in loss can be gain. It is spiritual strength to embrace that weak is the new strong. Beatitudes tell us all about this. In the Beatitudes we hear, the weakest and the most vulnerable, they are blessed. We hear Paul's words about his own weakness in the midst of his struggle, where he gets the word that comforts him, which says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And probably the poster child for weak is the new strong is Mary, Jesus' mother. In the beautiful words we hear, every year during Christmas time, the words of the Magnificat, where she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Yes, weak is the new strong. I want to invite you to play with that and see how you might embrace that and grow in your understanding of what is spiritual strength. Second thing is a practice, and the practice is to let God be God. So can we get personal for a minute? I know I haven't known you very long. Is it okay if I get personal? Okay, so let's get personal for a minute. Who's in control of your life these days? Is it you or is it God? Now, one way you can know if your life is a chaotic mess where you're exhausted and cranky all the time, I am certain you're the one running the show. And while we're here, let me say this. Stop quarreling with God about how he made you. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are young or old, fat or thin, or however you are, stop critiquing what God has created in you. Stop judging yourself and who you are. God made you, and God can help manage your life. Let God be God. Get off the throne. God knows how to make the best of your days if you will let him. If you will let him. This Lent, I want to invite you to imagine what God might do in and through and with you if you would enter into that wilderness and surrender your life, if you would let go and let God. Maybe not just this Lent. Maybe if you embrace this as a way to live. I believe this is something we must practice every day. But I believe that this is the journey and the reason for our existence, to understand and to live into letting go and letting God. So I invite you to just let go, to let that acorn within you die, so that out of your life might be grown a mighty oak. Let us pray. Loving and holy God, we are grateful for how you don't leave us as we are, small, living far away from who you call us to be, but that you invite us in this season of Lent to surrender ourselves to you, to say yes, so that that acorn within us would die, and that through your control, through your power, a mighty oak might be born in our lives. A mighty oak that does so much more than we would ever be able to do through our own awesomeness and our own control of things. God, today we surrender to you, and we ask that you would move in us in new ways, opening our hearts and our lives so we might trust you and surrender all that we have to you for your work within us. All of this we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.